Good morning. We're reading the article, A True Prayer is Over a True Deficiency. In the Passover booklet, it's page 134. In Rabash's volume 1, it's page 133. You can ask questions at cab.tv, and selected questions will be asked during the lesson. Again, the article, A True Prayer is Over a True Deficiency, from the Passover booklet, page 134. There's no English translation. The writing says, and these are the names of the people of Israel coming to Egypt. And a new king rose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And the people of Israel enslaved the people of Israel in hard work. And the people of Israel sighed from the work. And they cried out. And their cry rose to the Creator from the work. And the Creator heard their cry. And we have to understand what it says. And their cry rose to the Creator from the work. Did they not have greater suffering in Egypt? And here it seems that all their cry, meaning all their sufferings, were only from the work. And it is also written, and the Creator heard their cry, meaning that the hearing of the prayer was over their cry, which is only regarding the work. And we should explain this according to our path. It is known that before a man enters the work in order to bestow, but rather over other reasons, as written in the Zohar, that there are two reasons that make one engage in Torah and mitzvot. One, in order to have the pleasures of this world. And if one does not keep the Torah and mitzvot, he's afraid that the Creator would punish him. Two, in order to have the pleasures of the next world. And as he's afraid that maybe they won't give them to him, that is his reason that compels him to keep the Torah and mitzvot. And at a time that the reason that compels him to keep the Torah and mitzvot is due to self-benefit, then there isn't that much resistance from the side of the body. Because to the extent that he believes in reward and punishment, he's able to perform his work. And each day he feels that he keeps adding. And this is the truth, that every day he performs the mitzvot and engages in the Torah, joins the previous day. And in such a way he goes and keeps adding and accumulating his property of keeping the Torah and mitzvot. And the reason is, since his main intention is over the reward, and he's not thinking about the intention, meaning that his intention would be in order to bestow. Rather, he believes in reward and punishment, that for every action that he performs, he'll receive a reward. Therefore, his intention is only for the actions, that they would be fine with all of the details and elements. Otherwise, if the actions would not be correct, certainly his work would not be accepted and he won't receive the reward for it. And at the time that he sees that the actions that he's performing are fine, already he has nothing to worry about. And because of that, all of his concerns are over the quantity, meaning that he should try and perform more good deeds. And if he's a wise disciple, then he knows that he needs to delve into whatever he's studying. And in the conducts of the mitzvot, he needs to be more meticulous so that it would be according to the halakha, the rule, according to all opinions. And he tries to always be strict with the rules that even according to the halakha you can go easy with, yet he tries to be strict. But more than that, he has nothing to worry about. It follows that those people that the reason that makes them keep the Torah and mitzvot is the burden of the kingship of heavens, in order for them to have a reward in this world and the next world, they do not need the Creator for them to have the force that they'd be able to engage in Torah and mitzvot. Because according to the degree of their faith in reward and punishment, already the body permits each one according to his degree, to keep it. Whereas those people who want to work the holy work in order to bestow without any reward, rather they want to keep the Torah and mitzvot due to the greatness of the Creator, and it would be a great honor for them if they were allowed to serve the King, as written in the Zohar. What is the main thing about the main principle of the fear is that a person would fear his master because he's great and a ruler, he's the main part and he's the root. And he explains in the Sulam that there are three manners in the fear of the Creator. One, meaning fear from punishments in this world. Two, that one also fears the punishments of hell. And those two are not true fear, true awe, because one does not keep the fear due to the commandment of the Creator, but rather due to self-benefit. And it follows that self-benefit is the root, and fear is the branch, and it is caused by self-benefit. However, fear, which is the main one, is that one fears the Creator because He is great and rules over everything. So far, His words. It follows that the greatness of the Creator is the reason that compels Him to keep the Torah and Mitzvot. And this is called that His entire desire is only to bestow upon the Creator, which is called to bestow contentment to one's Maker and not for His own benefit. And here begins the exile, meaning that He is not allowed to intend that His work would be without receiving a prize, because this is against nature. And even though a person can force himself, even though the body does not agree, as the person can go through self-mortification, even though it is against nature, but that has to do with actions. Meaning, in order for a person to perform actions that go against the body's desire, he can go above reason, which is called against the will of the body. But one cannot go against his own sensation and mind, meaning to say that he feels differently from what from the way he feels. For example, if a person feels that he's cold or that he's hot, he cannot say that that sensation is not truth. And to force himself to say that he understands differently than the way that his mind obligates, or that he feels differently from the way he now feels. He has no other advice except to say what he sees. It follows that at a time the person wants to keep the Torah and Mitzvot with the intention that he wants to bestow upon the Creator, then by the body's nature he would not perform any action, any motion, unless he sees that he will receive some reward. Therefore, one has no possibility to work for the sake of the Creator and not for self-benefit. And here begins the exile, meaning the suffering, that as much as one works, he does not see any advancement. For example, if he's at the age of 20, on one hand, he can say that already he has a property of 20 years of engaging in Torah and Mitzvot. And on the other hand, he can say that as he has already kept Torah and Mitzvot for 20 years, and yet did not reach having the ability to do anything in order to bestow, rather everything was built on the foundation of self-love. It follows that all the suffering and the pains that he suffers are because he cannot work for the Creator. And he wants to work in order to bestow. And the body, which is enslaved to the klipot, does not let him aim with that intention. Then he cries out for the Creator to help him, because he sees that he is in the exile among the klipot, and they rule over him, and he does not see any advice for him to have a reality that he'll be able to come out from under their control. It follows that then his prayer is called a true prayer, because a person is unable to come out of that exile. And this is as written and he removed Israel from them because his mercy is forever. Since this is against nature, only the Creator can bring Israel out of that exile. But as it is known that there is no light without a kli, meaning there's no fulfillment without a deficiency, and a deficiency is the kli that receives the fulfillment. And because of that, before a man enters the exile, meaning if he doesn't see that by himself he cannot come out of the exile, it's not relevant to say that he would be brought out of it. Because even though he cries out, bring me out of that state in which I am, however, it's not a true prayer. Because how does he know that he cannot come out by himself? Rather, specifically at a time that one feels the exile, it is relevant to say so, meaning that one would pray from the bottom of his heart. Because in order for him to pray from the bottom of his heart, there are two conditions. One, that his work would be against nature, meaning that he wants to perform all the actions only in order to bestow. And he wants to come out of self-love. Then it is relevant to say that he has a deficiency. Two, that he begins to come out of self-love by himself, and he invents exertion in it, yet he cannot move from his current state at all. Then he becomes needy of the Creator to help him. And then his prayer is a true one, because he sees that on his own behalf he cannot do anything. Then when he cries out for the Creator to help him, he knows it from the work. As written, and the people of Israel sighed from the work, meaning because they worked and they wanted to reach a degree that they'll be able to bestow upon the Creator, and they saw that they cannot come out of their own nature. Then they prayed from the bottom of their hearts. And by this we understand what we asked over what is written, and their cry rose to the Creator from the work. Meaning that the greatest sufferings over which was their cry were only regarding the work, and not over other things. Rather, what this speaks of is that they cried out over their state, that they were not able to come out of self-love and work for the sake of the Creator. That was their exile that caused them sufferings, that they saw that they are laid under their dominion. It follows that in the exile of Egypt, they achieved the kelim, meaning the desire that the Creator would help them to come out of this exile. Again, because there is no light without a kli. That only when one prays the true prayer, when a person sees that there is no possibility for him to be saved, and only the Creator can help him, that is called true prayer.
He provides us here with a few important points in our path. Firstly, that we must achieve true prayer. True prayer is a prayer for something I truly lack. The prayer has to be accepted above, that is, the deficiency of the upper one and the deficiency of the lower one must be the same deficiency. The deficiency is to give from the side of the upper one, and the deficiency to ask for on the side of the lower one. How are they equal? In that one should come to such a deficiency where he lacks only bestowing, and he lacks knowing that only the Creator can provide him with this type of fulfillment, that is, the quality of bestowal. the force, the ability, opportunity to bestow, all the conditions. In short, that the Creator will unlock the desire to bestow in Him and the abilities to bestow. To whom, how, what for. This whole system of connection is what's called Torah. The light that comes, the ability. But before that, one must make an effort. First, in checking, what does he want? What desires exist within him? And how they're all aimed at himself, at serving himself. Later on, by immersing himself in the right environment, if he absorbs values from there, then he begins to change somewhat, to hear that spirituality is entirely not in aiming for oneself, but in aiming for the others. This acknowledgement comes to the person with great difficulty, in a slow manner. He hears, but until he actually grasps it, until he actually feels it in his desire, it takes a long time. Because from hearing to actualizing, there's a long way, because he has to exert himself. Although he is in a will to receive with its natural traits, he has to make opposite actions of bestowal, of connection, which are artificial, of course, meaning they're not in his desire. That's what we call above his reason. And with what fuel? Meaning, for what reward is he working? He can't really work for doing good to others. He doesn't feel that. He won't be able to lift his hand to do the slightest action. He won't be able to, because his nature isn't working with a fuel, a motivation of bestowal. He's not already integrated with the others as one desire, so that if he fulfills the others, it's like fulfilling himself. He doesn't feel it that way yet. Therefore, the others, to him, are non-existent. Filling up the others is totally in contrast to his goals. So, he's doing mechanical actions, literally, just actions, as though he bestows to others, as though he connects to others. But certainly, he has a goal of self-benefit. However, if he nevertheless acknowledges that this is the path, and that's called the effort. I exerted and I found. Meaning, in the meantime, the light affects him and changes something in him, in his reshimot, recollections, in his soul. Then, bit by bit, he begins to feel the importance of the Creator, the importance of the environment, the group. These are things that awaken and form within a person over many years. And thus he advances. This means that slowly he starts finding importance in bestowal for self-benefit. Later on, that bestowal is important in and of itself. And he has ups and downs in relation to that. One time he appreciates bestowal for the sake of bestowal. The other time he appreciates bestowal for the sake of self-benefit, meaning that he's got something, he belongs to a goal, to a process, and so on. Another time, he doesn't even think about it, only thinks about reception. And then, what is he really engaged in? Then he starts criticizing his entire path. And that way, in all these states, he advances. The progress has to come to a true prayer. We just have to add that all of the components, all of the elements of the true prayer are received from the environment. The person himself has nothing. It's a state where all of the elements, all of its components, have to do with spiritual attainment. He has to have a teacher that always guides him. He needs a group with which to realize the process. He needs the books through which to draw the light that reforms. These three components are totally unrelated to his will to receive in his corporeal life. If he sets them up in a way that using them, he must achieve the importance of spirituality in and of itself, which is, of course, an influence of the light. We can't have that in our nature. How can we appreciate this in and of itself? How can I appreciate anything that doesn't give me any benefit? I just have to put more and more effort into it, and that's it, and just be happy from making the effort. Yet the light that gradually shines gives us this ability where we begin to appreciate the relation to spirituality, the relation to the Creator, that is, so that it's worthwhile for us to just belong to it. Then a person comes to a true prayer. True means that it's great in size, in power, but also true in that the Creator accepts this type of deficiency. And then there's contact between them, what's called face-to-face, meaning in the desire of the Creator and the creature. Then a person transcends his ego, and this is called the revelation of the Creator, and he enters the work of bestowal. So, the entire process for the most part divides into two parts. The part of the preparation for the true prayer, and from once you attain the true prayer and forward. Then you already move forward with that prayer. Truth is, before that, everything advances according to the prayer as well, meaning the discovery of the more and more advanced deficiency each time, each state. Yet, once you attain the true deficiency, begins the attainment of the Creator. Yes.
There's a common question from friends from the Holon group and Modi'in. Nachshon from Modi'in. How can we know how close a person is to the true prayer? And what is the true prayer?
How close one is to the true prayer? According to the deficiency that he only wants an opportunity to bestow, to assimilate himself in all the others, in the Creator. To assimilate here means that not that he is in there, but that he doesn't exist at all. Meaning that he has nothing from himself. Only to carry out the desire of the others and the Creator. It's like the Bina that wants to feel in her achap what the others want, what everyone else wants. And this is basically what's important. Yes.
Yosef from Jerusalem asks, what are the indications that a person has reached complete despair from his own forces?
What are the indications that a person has reached the true despair of his own strength? Not just any despair. The true despair is that he has a clear decision that nothing's going to help him other than the Creator. And that is, there's nothing from himself and 100% from the Upper One. That's basically the true despair. And the false despair is when he's just despaired, meaning that he hasn't yet reached none else besides him. None else besides him is always in relation to, with respect to the receivers. So, whatever I talk about, there's always me there and what I attain. So if I say there's none else besides him, it is from my perspective that this is how I relate to the whole of reality, that the whole of reality is one force. That I am also speaking now from that one force. So when I say that I'm despaired, it has to be, or the true prayer, the true deficiency, must always include two discernments, me and the Upper One.
Ilam from Haifa is asking how to cope with the burdening of the corporeal desires, food, sex, money, and why is that burdening directed specifically to those, and how will integration in the group help?
It's true that the more a person advances, the more he has all kinds of corporeal desires that grow in him more and more, and he thinks they're disturbing. It depends. It very much depends on, well, it's hard to explain how it disturbs him or not, how much he limits himself or not. The question is, how does he use them? For what purpose? Perhaps this, like that. I don't think that in every detail in corporeality, eventually we have to use it only in order to bestow. That's called spirituality. That is, there's no difference between spirituality and corporeality. Every desire that is in order to receive is corporeal, and the same desires when they're in order to bestow, they're spiritual. And it doesn't matter what desires, on what level, the question is only whether a person is truly using them, or is lying to himself, or he doesn't. Of course, there's great scrutinies to make here. So, for what purpose? For what is he working?
From the Holon group, they ask, there are many small moments of that sensation that the Creator is helping you. Is that a delusion?
Later he'll know. You can say that there is no moment that is not useful, helpful. But the person thinks that this way or that way, we have to understand that everything happens only by him, by the force that comes from him.
From Natanya, they're asking how to reach the discernment that nothing is going to help other than the Creator. No, sorry, he's asking the following. How to reach the discernment that nothing is going to help other than the Creator. One must feel the Creator. How can you feel the Creator before we reached the true deficiency?
And how to attain the true deficiency if you don't feel the Creator? Therefore, we were given this very special degree, which is called this world, this low mechanical level, where we can make actions that are unrelated to spirituality. Then by these actions, which don't belong to spirituality, actions that I just do, by that I draw light, and it fixes me, sets me up, designs my intentions, my deficiencies, and I don't really work on the same level. I'm not in contact with the light. It's a surrounding light. I invite it through this kind of alternative approach, not directly to it. And then it activates all sorts of inclinations in me and sets me up in a way that I suddenly want. Why? How? I don't know. Like that.
A student from the US asks, now, as we're working towards one world group, does it change the way we work in the local group?
We have to self-scrutinize and be accountable to ourselves in a very accurate and meticulous, strict manner. We have to learn from the higher general providence of the Creator in the world how much the world requires correction and how far we are still from performing it, from participating in it, being the passageway for correction. And this should wake us up and make us be very decisive and serious about where we're going. We can't just take ourselves into account that we are okay, we can still wait, and so on and so forth. Rather, the calculation is very, very, I would say, serious, severe, and even frightening. Like Bala Sulam writes about the Holocaust and similar issues, that if the people of Israel don't follow the required conditions, they invite the externality to overcome the internality, and then really brings about great trouble. The destroyer that they invite begins to rule the world. Therefore, we have to relate very responsibly, everyone towards the group, every group towards the world group, and the whole world group towards the world. Very seriously. We're truly at a state, at such a year which is very determining in human history, either for the path of light or the path to Torah or the path of pain.
We know that there is a lot of playing game in the world. Is there room for the play, for the game in the true prayer?
All the time. When a person tries to advance, he only advances by prayer. Whether it's a true prayer or not, but that's the only way, only by discovering the deficiency. Meaning, if you want to count how much and in what way are you advancing, then you have to count those moments where you find a deficiency that is more and more from the bottom of the heart towards the Creator. Because this deficiency activates the light that reforms. What depends on you is only raising the man, as it's called. So measure it accordingly. How many times yesterday did you caught yourself raising man, finding the deficiency towards the Creator in order to advance towards bestowal, towards others, towards the group, connection with the whole of humanity, this way, that way, somehow, doesn't matter, but did you have that or not? If you haven't, then yesterday didn't happen. You simply erased yesterday from your history. That's all. Okay.
I have a reminder on my phone every half an hour to do that, and I really try and I read something. Is that real or just phony?
That's what you're doing?
That's what I do. I don't know about others, but is that just mechanical?
What kind of a reminder?
It says every half an hour, think at least about the friends, thinking about the goal, worrying about the goal. As I read something, I try to think about it. The question is, is it truly something that I do, or is it just like that?
It doesn't matter. That's good too. Anything that a person does, even totally mechanical, and that's good too. It all works. Everything has an effect. There's room for that too. But, yeah, we should certainly realize that the true deficiency is what activates the system. The man, which is already received in Malchut of Atzilut, and she operates the Zon and Abveima, etc. That's the true prayer. Amikam.
Actually, the sensation that I can do something with my own forces, that we see that is the greatest obstacle from reaching the prayer from the bottom of the heart, specifically that because the system is perfect. I mean, I imagine to myself, I depict to myself that this machine that the Creator created is perfect, specifically from that aspect that it thinks it can actually do something, meaning that it has some abilities. Because if it didn't have that ability, then let's say it would see reality better, but it wasn't so perfect
What machine are you talking about? I don't know. What machine? Where do you see any machine?
Well, we've been pressured. You know, we pressure an ice, a button called ice cream. I receive pleasure from ice cream. I want ice cream. They pressure a button at a different button. I don't know. I want to go to sleep.
Meaning the deficiency for some specific fulfillment is awakened in you, and
yes,
then you chase its fulfillment. Yeah.
This mechanism specifically that I awaken towards that need.
Certainly, the Creator says, I am first, meaning He is the one who awakens you. So what?
So the question is how to not neutralize this ability, and yet...
What do I care if He is awakening me?
I want to awaken towards Him. Listen,
You? You? On your own?
Yes.
What do you mean, on your own?
What does it mean by myself?
How can you be the first? Describe to me a situation where you do an action from nothing, and you do it as the first. You're the first to do it, without any reshimot, without any deficiencies. Where does it start from?
I can take examples.
Did you start building a building without having any matter, any thought, anything? Where will you take all those things?
Let's begin at a later stage. I go
to... a little bit later. Okay. So you start from a certain point where you start thinking that from here on it's me.
Let's say, yes, the thought, let's say.
Okay, yeah. So from a certain point, you feel like doing something and you think it's yourself. And then you do it. So then what?
Next, I produce this. Let's say something which is something external for me. I produce a certain need in Him to awaken towards me, which is exactly the opposite of what's happening.
How can He do such a thing?
I know how to do it with a child. I go to Him, let's say, with a child, with a movie or a book or some thought in my head that I awaken in Him.
Because a kid has a general desire for something. So you only address that general desire and you form a certain specific desire in Him.
Is that
specific
possible
to what you want?
Is that possible with the Creator?
Well, yeah, He can come and, you know, put something in, you know, like a steak, let's say, and He wants that steak, my friend. So that's how I, you know, awaken Him. Meaning through the surroundings, I provide Him with something. And the desire is already in Him. We don't create the desire. We're not the Creator. We can't create it. Yet, awakening that deficiency, we can. So, okay. Now, the question is different. I don't have a desire to bestow. No. Don't sit down. Answer me. I don't have a desire to bestow. What will I do?
I can come up to that point, actually, in which there is a deficiency. Beyond that...
How can you come to that? How can you come to that at all? How can you approach it, even by a millimeter? From your will to receive, how can you make any step, any motion towards the will to bestow?
How do I go and study 7 years of medical school, let's say?
Because it's worthwhile for you.
So, for the same reason?
How do you see that it's worthwhile bestowing? It's not in your nature. In your vessels, there's no such pleasure pleasure from it.
But I go to med school, and I know I have to go through a long period of studies, and...
This doesn't matter, the period of time. At the end, you see a shining light there.
I know it's going to shine on me, the light.
Of course you do. You see it from the environment. You look at the role model as a doctor, and... What? You just do things that are insane, that have no reason in them? You just go to study 7 years medicine for nothing?
I look at doctors and I see that.
No. Come on. I don't want to... If you don't speak in a way that makes sense, I don't want to...
But I know there's a place there. I mean, the deficiency is built for a long term.
It doesn't matter if it's a short term or long term. I'm willing to invest my entire life if at the end of my life I'll have a monument of gold for myself. You know, so I don't care about my entire life. As long as at the end there will be a great statue they'll create for me. I don't care if it's a long-term goal. If, as long as it shines from afar, then it's still worthwhile in my egoistic vessels. What 7 years? It's nothing.
So this sensation that it's worthwhile for me, that is my connection with the Creator, not the pleasure itself?
No, you don't have that type of connection with the Creator.
So where is my connection with Him?
You don't have the connection.
So how do I cleave unto Him?
I don't know. You need to find it. And then you'll see that you find that you have no connection with Him. How? How could it be?
What do you mean? I write to Him all the time. I write to Him notes, letters.
Oh, you're writing. Okay, great. Well, you know, you can put it in the Western Wall as they do. Great, sure. Can you actually even think in towards His direction or making any step? And that there's none, you know, anything requires energy. Will you have any motivation power, like Bala Sulam says? You know, a motive, worthiness, maybe, perhaps. How?
Well, this article talks about sufferings and apparently also about pleasure. It mostly speaks about suffering. That's what I have.
You want to speak directly or not?
That's what I'm asking.
You see that the entire world, including yourself, including yourself, are all revolving around their pleasures or suffering, and they're trying to find it in the will to receive, which is the entire substance of creation, yet they can't find it there. And this is basically, you know, there's a good word in Yiddish, we say bruch, which means basically a predicament, you know, a plight, you know, like a pit, you know, that you fall into. And what can you do? What can you do? There is no solution, whether it's for you or for the whole world. No one has a solution for this.
So what do we do here?
Oh, here, I don't know, and we, I don't know who is that too. We are doing something, you don't.
So I'm the only one not doing it?
Well, kind of, let's say. No, but I'm asking from the same point. How will I somehow be able to turn to the Creator? Tell me, if I am an entire will to receive, and whatever I turn to is only to fulfill my will to receive, then how can I turn to the Creator with that? It isn't turning to the Creator.
If I have within me this desire, if I have this need
to receive,
and I know that this is actually what the Creator created, then I can invert it. Any desire that I have is His desire, and the other way around.
That's how you invert the will to receive to what?
The will to bestow.
Yes.
Yes.
How? How? By what?
Because He created perfection. He wants me to reach that place.
If he wanted
me to be a mouse.
I never seen wholeness in the world. Never seen such a thing. That's a miracle.
No, I received it here, not from home.
What? You heard it from me?
Yes, many times.
Oh, boy.
I mean,
so let me take it back. I was wrong. I'm telling you, seriously, never, no way, there can never be such a thing in reality that you will be able to invert your will to receive to a will to bestow, or to invert the intention from in order to receive to in order to bestow. You cannot do such a thing.
So that brings me back to the question then.
What question?
That this is precisely that concealment, that's exactly what He did. How does He create within me that sensation that I can do something unless He didn't do it out of some perfection?
That's a different thing. This is something else. Why does the Creator confuse us, making us think that we ourselves can achieve bestowal?
That's right? My question.
That's a whole, completely different question. You haven't been doing any research. I'm sorry, you don't have a clear didactic division of things. You're so all over the place with your questions. This is a different question. It's a different story. Why did the Creator make it so that we think that we can change ourselves? Right?
That's ultimately the question.
Okay, yeah. And not ultimately, it's just the beginning of the question, because this question is what the whole world is in. This is the world's plight, that it's still looking for how can I change something here. So I'll tell you what for, in order for everyone to eventually come to a crisis, a shattering, that they can't do a thing. Very simple. Meaning, you have the acknowledgement in your mind and a desire in your body or in your heart that you can reach the goal. Well, whatever goal, doesn't matter. That you think that you're capable until you come to a complete breakage. You can't do anything. And this bitterness must take place. It isn't the complete bitterness. It isn't the people of Israel shall sigh from the work yet. But it's already a clear decision that a person in himself only consists of a will to receive in mind and heart, and therefore he does not have the lever by which to transform the will to receive. He's immersed in it, and that's it. And in order to do anything, you need to have an additional force. And you don't have that. Now, how do you turn to that additional force, right? What for? To do what? To exit the will to receive. To do what? To get rid of it. So if you have such a predicament that you want to get rid of the will to receive, really, and it's not in your strength, not by your strength, because in your strength you're already totally despaired. So then you're looking for, what can I do? Please help. But it doesn't do it. It's not enough. What do you want to do with your will to receive? Just run away from the trouble? Not enough. You must reach a state where you want to bestow. How will you, where will you take this from? Then you're told, from this global crisis, you're brought to the understanding that you must be connected to the others in a goodwill, or in the group where you understand that you have to be interconnected with the others. Same thing, same motion on different scales. One is on a higher spiritual scale, and this is on a corporeal scale. But basically, same paths, same processes taking place. So by integrating with the environment and being a part of the environment, you then you don't belong. Without that, you don't belong to the other force. And without it, you don't change anything. That's why the environment is the cause, the means for changing yourself. And if you don't relate to the environment, then you're simply living in your own shell. You know, like that, how do you call that, the worm in the radish. In the radish, yeah. And you don't know anything that is outside of it. Therefore, in the radish, meaning in this bitter life, you were given an environment. If you set it up, you have to set it up, because you don't know what the environment is, what the group is. It all depends on how you look at it. Like Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, if you look at this correctly, you start building the lever, that thing that has to do with bestowal and is working opposite to yourself. So then, in reciprocal work with the environment, you have a way to advance. But you, when you say, I'm going to change myself, sure, like this or that, you know, you're a hero. That is just, you know, it's like a monkey towards a human, you know, it just... But you always show us how smart you are. from what intellect do you say that you can change yourself when the person has nothing of bestowal? Where will they take this from? On the contrary, the bestowal that existed in the root, in one's root, was transformed into reception in order to receive. Now, reverting that reception to bestowal is impossible. On the contrary, by trying to do that, you only increase in order to receive.
Unless, if a person is such a self, a machine working for self-benefit, unless I saw this example and I know that it can work.
What?
That I, by my own forces, did something, I went through some process, and ultimately something happened at the end, and I received my reward. If I saw that there is such a path, such a way to do it.
I don't understand. You did all kinds of things, and you were rewarded for them.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. The whole world works that way. So what? But so you did actions, whether receiving or giving, doesn't matter, but you got rewarded and you're willing to receive. Fine, great, you profited something. So what?
So I say, if I was led to that state where I see that through my own forces I managed to achieve something, to get something, ultimately I have to break that and go through some system of a breaking.
Right.
Then I came to the conclusion who's behind that, and that's enough.
No, it's not going to help you.
I have to go through...
This is what Baal Salam says. Where does it say that? Well, in that letter, you know, where he talks about one who is despaired by his own strength. Until you come to a shattering, to a breakage, can you pass through anything? Can you transcend anything without breaking your heart first? That's why you always stay on that level. Everything's in theory for you. Everything is, you can already say, oh, now I'm certain that I can't help myself anywhere. And in the next moment, you keep trying. What are you talking about? It's impossible. That's why you have to make more and more actions to speed up as much as possible, dissemination, conventions, whatever, with the friends, everything possible. With the environment, then you come to this breakage. Otherwise, you don't. You'll come to it on the inanimate level, just like the rest of the world. Well, let's move on to the next part.
Moving on to the next part from the Zohar.